Amen. Thank you, Sim, for lifting up Christ this morning. Thank you for that devotional and the challenge of just continuing to say the stories of Jesus. That's what we do here every Sunday. We have a message, we have a devotional, we sing about God's, how we can praise God, and also through song we're challenged, I'm sure. Sometimes a song speaks to us, and all those things have to do with drawing us closer to Christ. And I just pray every time we gather that there would be something that we take away. At work, we have this thing that when we do our training, there's never any time that you can take everything in. It's too much. But we tell our guys, take one or two things and apply those things. And every time we retrain, you can grow further in that. And so every time we gather ourselves together, it's not just to dress up and come here. It is actually to learn something that we can go home and apply it. So again, like Sim said, do we feel reproof this morning? Do we feel encouragement? Do we feel that reinforcement of what we're already doing? Is the word continuing to lead our lives? Again, like Sim said, there's a relationship with Christ that happens, and then through that, the word of God speaks to us. Hallelujah. Thank you all for being here. Welcome to the visitors. It's good to have you with us this morning. Bear with me a little bit. This week I had a little struggle with my voice. I don't know if it was because of the smoke and things like that, but I have a little bit of a hard time speaking clearly, but with God's help, we'll get through it. I'd like to pray yet for Joshua Slaybaugh. He requested prayer this morning. He's not feeling well. So as a church, let's just ask God to touch him this morning through the power of his Holy Spirit. Father, we just lift up Joshua this morning. We thank you that he's reached out to the church for prayer and requested prayer from the church to seek an almighty God for his healing, that you would touch him this morning. So God, we pray this morning that you would touch him where he needs healing. Father, that he would feel better and that he could function well today to bring glory to you, to bring honor to you. And so we just ask that you be with our brother. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank you for it. I'm going to find a marker here if I can find one that works. Sometimes when you write something down, it means more than it does just hearing it. So Jesus walks among his people and cares for them. Two words I'd like us to focus on this morning is he walks with us and he cares for us. Jesus walks among his people and cares for them. I was really encouraged. A few weeks ago, we got together with some of y'all that have been attending here more recently, the newer people here, and we basically had a time where we shared the backstory of Cross Keys in the church here, and then also had a question and answer session, and then went into testimonies from your lives, how you were drawn to this group of people and what you're thinking. And it was just a very open time. In the midst of that, I just came to the point where I have nothing to offer. Us as elders were together with you all. We have nothing to offer except Christ, who walks with you and cares for you. And it kind of stemmed out of that, and also a burden more recently of just the revival that's in the area, which is super exciting to me. We've been praying for this for years. Ever since I was born again, I remember praying for what's happening today. Some of you, sitting here this morning. I was in the home church here in Burdenham. Thank you for being here, brother. I just realized that God, through the years, if you continue to ask Him, He'll answer. Never give up. He will walk with you, and He will care for you. And so that's the theme this morning that I want to present to you. And Jesus is present in our everyday life. He works through the ordinary things that we encounter every day. He's watching. He's listening. He's acting with compassion. And His walking with us means that we're never alone. He not only does not let us walk alone, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. People forsake us sometimes. People walk away from us. People disappoint us. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have that suspicion that somebody you're walking with closely today will walk away from you. No, I'm just saying Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. He touches our lives through His Holy Spirit, and He cares for us. And through that, He invites us to walk in faith and in acts of love, as Sim was mentioning. He's our Redeemer. He's also our Restorer. What's lost this morning in your heart, He can restore that. He can redeem that. And so I don't feel like I have a real long message. I want to let time for this, but just to give you a sermon outline here, I want to share some key scriptures. I'm going to just read through them on my notes. And then we want to also share in open mic at some point here. And two of the things you can think about in sharing is, one moment you sense Jesus' presence. Or another way is, one way you were able to show Christ's care for someone else this week or this month. How did that happen? And then we want to pray for each other before closing. So let's just allow ourselves to be ministered to this morning by the head of the church, Jesus Christ Himself. In Matthew 14:14, Jesus had compassion. These are just some scriptures that I want to bring out. And He healed the sick. And we can see His presence, His care in action here. It says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And He healed their sick. He healed their sick because He had compassion on them. Jesus walks with us. His presence is right here with us. And seeing the crowd's need, He had compassion on them and was moved into action through that compassion. What I get out of that verse is Jesus is not distant. He travels through the days and the seasons of our life. Through the troubles, through the deep waters, through the things that we cannot control, we don't know how to do, nor do we sometimes know how to make decisions in. He travels through those things with us and moves us toward those things and helps us. Second one is John 11, 35 and 36. Jesus wept with those who mourned. We can just turn there. I'm going to also go to John 10 then in a bit. Jesus wept with those who mourned. His presence brought comfort. 35 says, Jesus wept. And then 36 says, then said the Jews, behold how He loved Him. And it gives an illustration there that Jesus mourned with those that needed comforted. And I'm trying to encourage us this morning. We're going to go into Ephesians toward the end, where I'm trying to encourage us to grasp, I would just say this, to grasp that there's much more that can happen, outside of these doors. But hopefully there's an equipping of the saints this morning to be able to equip you enough to face what you need next week, or this week rather, and to encourage you to take the word to minister. It says the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And I just pray that this would encourage us this morning to hold on to Jesus. But there's an illustration here that I want to give of compassion that we can have. Just simple, ordinary things in life. my brother-in-law and Sam and Suze, which we've been praying for. Their son Damien was a GA child, and his brain he had brain injury. I'm not sure what year that was. Beginning of 24, I think it was. But just seeing when that happened, we visited them shortly after in the hospital, my wife and I. And just seeing the grief on their faces of what was once a healthy child, appeared to be a healthy child, and all of a sudden, helpless. It changed just like that. Something almost, it almost like their child died in some ways. And in some ways, that is what happened. There's a part of the brain that died that helps your muscles relax. Your brain tells your muscles to relax. So if I clench my hands, he can do that as well. Damien can do that today. But now my brain is going to tell my hands to relax. His don't do that. When he clenches or pulls, his brain, his brain tries to tell his body to relax, but that part died. Instead of relaxing, it gets tighter and tighter and tighter until his body is super painful. And he goes into this position where they have to unlock him. And so we visited them shortly after it happened, and they had no idea what they're facing. They're still working with it today, still trying to find their way through it. But those are little ways. And anyway, this past week we had a company meeting, and he expressed how much that affected him and how much that encouraged him and his wife when we visited them. Okay, it's not about us, but I'm just encouraging us this morning. Little ordinary things. Never underestimate little ordinary things that would encourage someone's life in the middle of grief. Does that make sense? When you see that grief like Jesus saw it, there's a compassion going to rise up in you. Follow that. Maybe you don't, I don't remember of saying a whole lot, honestly. I just didn't know what to say. It was just such a burden. It's like there's nothing I can do beside a miracle healing from Jesus Christ to change this. There's no surgeon that can fix this in the brain. And so there was a helpless feeling. So I don't know how much we said, except we were just, our presence was there. That's how I see Jesus walking into this picture in John 11. Another one is, my brother-in-law, Dan, when they lost their son, he shared with me, this was years ago, he was, I think, Austin's age. When they lost their son, he said that there's something that went into his heart, a pain that you can't describe when the death happens. And some of you probably know what I'm talking about. I don't. I've never had that experience, so I can't feel for him. And I told him that. But when there's a pain that grips your heart that is beyond what you can almost bear. And he said, he was born again over that time. But the grief that I saw in his face that day, and when he explained it to me, was just something beyond what I ever experienced. And what I'm saying is, allow yourself to go into those situations to minister the life of Christ, just as he cares for you, care for others around us. I'm trying to encourage us and equip us to minister for the work of ministry this morning and walk with those people that need someone to walk with. I'm sure this morning we can think of someone that we can walk with. Find people, pray for people to walk with. Luke 7:13-15, Jesus is moved with compassion again toward the grieving widow and restoring her life. And he says, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier." The bier is a stand with a casket on. "He touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. and he delivered him to his mother. I have never witnessed something like this happen. But this is a story that is in the Word of God, that Jesus raised someone from the dead. The only thing I can say this morning is I believe Jesus Christ can do that. How? I don't know. But I believe it. One thing I have witnessed is I have seen the dead spiritually come alive. I can say I have witnessed that in my lifetime, in my own heart first. Where once there was death and void and darkness, but now is life in Christ. I have seen that in all of you that have chosen to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, this morning, it's the message we want to get out of some of these stories is there's care here from Christ. The darkness that you're facing today, the darkness that you're seeing, that can become redeemed. What's dead can die, but when you choose Christ, there's life comes into your heart for that situation or for that thing. So comforting a friend, noticing a coworker that's overwhelmed, offering a listening ear. Now let's just transition from compassion to John 10, where he goes into action. John 10, 11, 14, and 15, we see some verses there. And this is talking about the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then on down, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now there's one thing that we have to insert here. Earlier in the chapter there is a threat. The thief cometh, verse 10, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But then he says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we've given our life to him, he will walk with us and among us. And through that, he'll care for us. It's hard to imagine that sometimes, right? Depending what for situation you're in, it's sometimes hard to imagine that he actually cares about this situation that I'm in or this thing that I'm experiencing. But he does say he's a good shepherd. And I'm not going to go into the whole chapter there, but it there's a lot. Go home and read it. But I do want a few verses there later on. He does say, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We heard the threat, right? There's one that's going to kill, steal, and destroy if we don't stay in the kingdom. But then he also says that we're not going to be plucked out of the hand when he's our shepherd. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Why? Because I and my Father are one. Such a security this morning. He's a good shepherd. Isaiah 43:2, he says, let me just read that. I'll back up to verse 1 there. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. And he says, when thou passest through the waters. It's really interesting there. He doesn't say if. He says when. When thou passest through the waters. It gives this idea of an overwhelming situation. He said, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. You know what? Sometimes the most interesting and the thing that ministers to me the most is when I see someone in a tough time and I can't do anything about it besides walk with them and show the care, whatever that I can. But I can't change it. I can't change the situation. But those are sometimes the things that minister to me the most, is how God is moving in that person. And one of them being my brother-in-law right now, just seeing how God is giving him a peace. How is it when you're in an intense situation like that? And I'm just using him as an illustration this morning. You probably have many things to share, and hopefully we'll hear about some of those. But you take a, how old is he? Damien, 3. He's 3 years old. And they constantly, he's either in a bed or they're constantly carrying him and switching off. He works from home some. He talks to us and he's carrying Damien. And so recently they had a hard time feeding him. Then they had to process the choice of putting a feeding tube port in to his stomach. Those are hard choices. Those are really hard choices. It's not an easy thing. Through that, after the surgery, it was sore, really sore. And so Damien felt this. It was uncomfortable. So when something is uncomfortable to him, it affects his emotions. He's just like us. You can talk to him just like I'm talking to you, and he receives it the same as you're receiving it. He can smile in his own way. He can say yes or no. He goes up for yes and down for no. He uses his eyes a lot. Communication is there. So when something hurts us, it our emotions rise, right? And our mind goes to it. And so his hand wanted to go to it and pull it, what they just put in. So for about 3 weeks, they had to be very careful, because what he didn't want to do, he felt he was going to do, because there was no retraction in his brain. That part died. And so he would be very quick to grab it and attempt to pull it out, super painful. And he, in his mind, was scared that he's going to grab it. Can you picture this with me? There's no part in his brain. The part that died is the part that would have the wisdom to put your hand away and not touch that area. Instead, he's afraid it hurts, and so he's afraid he's going to grab it, and he can't control his hand. It goes there and grabs it. So here they are carrying him around. And I'm just sharing this with you. To watch this couple go through this has been an amazing journey for me. And my point in this is, I don't know how someone can go through this and not complain. But I have never heard Sam complain. That takes the power of God. That's trusting Christ to walk with you among our people and care for them. There's something I'd like to fix, but I can't. But you know what I can do? I can encourage him. I can say, Sam, you're the best father I ever saw. Something. We can encourage people. And I'm giving you that illustration is, whoever that person is in your life, whoever that those people that you're walking with, draw in. Allow them to know that you're there for them. And speak life into the situation. Where was I? I was in verse 2 in Isaiah 43. I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, he says, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And look what it says here, for I am the Lord thy God. That is comforting to me this morning. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus can go through the fire with us, whatever we're facing. And Jesus is not distant. He's not distant. He travels with us. We heard about Jesus walking among the crowds, choosing to help that some were sick, raising the dead, and encouragement given to the discouraged. And we see many stories of raising the spiritually dead as well, as you read the stories of what Jesus did when he was here on earth. We can bring our needs honestly, knowing he understands and welcomes us. We can bring our needs, frankly, to Jesus Christ, and he'll help us because he understands our struggles. And so the assurance that we have is Christ's presence gives us courage to live boldly and not fearfully. When we look at Isaiah 43, I'm not sharing that to scare us. I'm just saying, let's have faith in God that he'll help us through. And then when we're in the situation where the water may be coming over us, the overwhelming situation, then we can just be that little bird that's cleft in the rock and just have peace about what's going on, because we trust Jesus Christ is going to lead the way, because he truly is our shepherd. So just some applications in preparation to share and pray. Practical steps, maybe things that we can imitate with the help of the Holy Spirit in our life. In daily life, ask, where is someone near me who can show signs of need today? Move toward that person with a listening ear and possibly some practical help. Maybe it's prayer. Bring your honest hurts to Jesus. Then listen for his gentle encouragement. And sometimes that can come through a friend, through scripture. We heard about scripture this morning, or maybe just a quiet moment. I personally enjoy taking a walk or getting up early in the morning and seeing creation, and somehow that ministers to me. Just love that. But a quiet moment, maybe you can find rest there. Or in discipleship. Talking about practical things that we can do to minister. Create spaces, small groups, prayer partners, with maybe even the families or the people that you're walking with, where people can share burdens, receive compassionate care. It doesn't have to be a formal thing. It can just simply, maybe it's the prison. Maybe you go to prison and visit the Chester County Prison with some of the men that go down on Tuesday evenings here, from here. Just very practical things to encourage those people who need something. But just allow them to share with you and then pray for them. In witness, could possibly be in witness. Let others see Jesus not only in words, but in patient presence in your acts of service. So there's some practical things that we can do. And just allow God to use us. It is so easy to come here and just, you know, maybe let Simeon have the devotional. You know, things kind of just happen and we walk back out the doors. But what are we going away with? That's what I want to challenge our hearts with this morning. What are we going to do this week to make a difference in the kingdom of God? So that one day we can be with all the saints, singing in glory for all eternity. And possibly bring those who don't know Christ yet, just by our little acts of service. And I want to just open it up. You have the mic handy, Dan. Just open it up. Maybe there's someone here that has something you want to share. And then we're going to also pray for each other. Pray for the people. We're going to get the people beside you, around you. Pray for each other. You don't all have to share now. Some of you can if you want to. What are your things you need prayer for? Or is there someone we should be considering to pray for? Or maybe something you sensed, like I said in the beginning, that Jesus has done to you this week. Or you were able to show Christ's care to someone else. This is not something that we're boasting about. But it's more about, man, I got this opportunity to share with someone that I never thought I would share with, right? That's exciting to me. That happened to me. It's Right now it's happening more than it ever has happened before. People are starting to drive with me that I never thought that would drive with me. And you all understand the whole excommunication thing. That's exciting to me. And on top of that, we have good spiritual conversations. Again, it's about, wow, I got this opportunity. So if anybody has anything to share, we're going to open it up. When have you felt Jesus walking with you most clearly in a difficult season? How can you respond to someone's pain today with Christ-like care? These are things for you to think about. What is one practical way you can invite Jesus' presence into a current situation at home, at work, or with a neighbor?